Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, what's up, football fans? Welcome back. It's time for the final NFL playoff preview. I can't believe this. It's myself, Jeff Hartman, joined by Wesley Coleman. What's up, Wesley? We're getting ready for the Super Bowl, man.
We are. It's a few days away now. Pretty incredible that we're here, and I think probably got the right teams eventually kind of playing in it.
You got any big plans? You go to any parties? You just stick at home? What's your deal?
Yeah, I'll be at home. I want to listen to the commercials. I'll care about that as much. Listen, if there's a Deadpool 3 trailer, I want to see it, and I'm excited about that. So I'm hoping for a big rebound on commercials, because I feel like in the last few years it's kind of fell off. Like, I feel like Super Bowl commercials and Saturday Night Live like aren't good anymore.
No, they're not.
Let's see if we can rebound with some good Super Bowl commercials.
Do you? I mean, you're old enough. You're about my age, probably a little older. Do you remember the beer commercials were just hysterical? Like when Bud Light and Miller Light were feuding back and forth, and yes. Budweiser, like, it was great. Like, it didn't make me want to drink the beer, but it was funny to watch.
It was great. No, it was so much fun. So I'd be
bring those freaking things back, is what I'm saying. And my kids just want to see the Despicable Me 4 trailer and the Kung Fu Panda 4. They're super pumped for this. So. You're looking at Deadpool and I'm looking at animated films. Nonetheless, we're here to talk about the Super Bowl, people. And the Super Bowl 58 is going to kick off. And I first want to ask you what you think about this spread. I've asked everybody this. The spread started out as I saw opening line, San Fran -2.5. Then it shifts and it's only one. I never saw it at Pick'em. Now it's gone back up to San Fran -2. What are your thoughts on that?
I saw it at 1.5. I didn't know it had gone back up to all the way to 2. I'm going to guess that there's going to be a lot of movement at the very, very last, like the last 12 hours or so. I'm guessing that anybody who can get Kansas City and then get a couple points, the Kansas City money is going to come in pretty late. I'd see this probably getting back to 1. Getting pretty close.
If you're taking the Chiefs, yeah, put that money down now when you're getting 2 points.
I was meaning the 49er money. Yeah. So I think that this has got to be, you got to be nervous about this, but
yeah.
I don't know, like that. It's a close game. It's supposed to be a pick'em. It's kind of weird to see with the route that the two teams took to get here through the playoffs. I don't know that I would assume this was going to be the Kansas City getting points. The way their defense has played the last couple of months and the way that, you can make a case that against the Packers and against the Lions that the 49ers looked like they were going to lose both of those games for a significant part of the game. At least it was going to be close. And I don't know if we were ever too really worried about the Chiefs, especially with, even if it was a one-score game with the Ravens. They kind of were in control of that game. So I don't know.
The one part about this whole line is not the spread. The spread is it's pretty close. It's going to be a close game, I think. Yeah. For me, is like, The total is 47.5. That's high, in my opinion.
Super high. It's high just for one reason, because of the Chiefs. The Chiefs don't give up points, and they're not really scoring too many points.
No, they're not.
And it's tough to see, I mean, that getting that high, like just because of what the Chiefs are going to do.
Yeah, and I think back to, okay, so I go back to the AFC Championship game. You bring up the Chiefs, and you're 100% correct. And I remember the first quarter, we're thinking, man, this is going to be a shootout. It's going to be a shootout. Final score, 17-10.
There was 3 points in the entire second half, and they were scored by the Ravens.
Yeah. I don't know. This is just weird, and let's talk about it. Let's talk about this game. Let's talk about first, I want to ask you, is there a team that you think benefits most from the extra week off?
Well, honestly both in this situation. The Chiefs are dealing with some injuries, and they're actually the only ones listed losing some players. I think Joe Tooney needs to play to help the Chiefs offensive line. Having said that, the 49ers have been beat up all year, and we've kind of talked about that the Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel have both just been beat to bits, both missed games, and I've talked about it for the entire playoffs, that if either one of those players is missing, it greatly handicaps the 49ers and what they can do. If either one of those players is missing, Brandon Ayuk disappears, and Brock Purdy goes back to league average quarterback. When they're both playing, Brock Purdy can be a MVP candidate. So I think both of them need that. Honestly, in the grand scheme of things, I think it helps the 49ers the most right now. Also calms Brock Purdy's nerves and gets him kind of in this whole, I think Patrick Mahomes would have loved to have played the next day after the last game and put the 49ers in any kind of handicap position whatsoever.
Yeah, health aside, I spoke about this on the NFL Whip Around with Coach Kevin Smith, and it really, to me, and he agreed with me, it comes down to Kyle Shanahan's offense versus Spagnuolo's defense, and they get an extra week to prep. And this is like the chess match of all chess matches here. Spagnuolo has a great defense in Kansas City, even though we've been screaming from the mountaintops all year, like, this group is really good. They're just not getting the credit they deserve. But then there's this offense that, boy, does he know how to scheme guys open. And when they're all healthy, that is a top-notch offensive unit. This is going to be one that maybe, I just think it's going to be so much fun to watch if you're a football fan. Who do you think this favors, though? The extra week for Shanahan's offense or Spagnuolo's defense?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say that it helps the defense purely because of what Spags has done, or what this Kansas City defense has done. I think the last nine games is like one of the greatest nine game runs that we've seen. Like, they're talking about in decades of what this team has done, and the points that they're allowing and the yards that they're allowing is insane. And don't get me wrong, this, it's hard to go back on this 49ers offense and find them have a bad game over the last 10 games, except for the Ravens, which just dominated them in the big matchup. Yeah. But I really think this defense, if we're comparing the defense versus the offense, the defense is the more dominant, like, historical defense with what they're doing and not getting talked about because Patrick Mahomes is being historical on the other end of the field, or the other end of the side of the ball. So I'm going to say that it helps the defense the most. The offense isn't going to change. The defense is going to see more and more motion and more plays. And we've seen in Super Bowls that it comes down to just enough video and tape watching to where a cornerback goes, oh, that guy just flipped that way. Here's this route. And when I jump this route, I've got a touchdown going the other way. It's just enough. It's very rare in the NFL. Do you have two straight weeks of watching tape and preparing for something? But we've seen Super Bowls. Tracy Porter did it for the Saints, of watching a famous Peyton Manning play over and over and over again. And he's talked about that he knew as soon as Reggie Wayne went in motion, oh my God, I'm fixing to intercept this ball. And he took it down for a touchdown that won the Super Bowl. So I think in the defense and what Spagnuolo's doing, it gives them a little bit of a leg up if you can have one against Shanahan.
Let's talk in tandem.
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts on that? I've always leaned on the defense there. Yeah. I always have, because I think on offense, you get an extra week, but how much can you really change in a week? Even if you have upper echelon talent across the board, you might put in a couple wrinkles. I know Coach Smith, he talked about how Kansas City in the playoffs last year, they always ran this motion, and they ran the motion right before the ball was snapped. And then in the Super Bowl, they stopped at the tackle, and then they basically V-cut back out. And it was a big play. That's a wrinkle. That's not changing an entire scheme. The defense can start to really get chaotic in terms of how they want to cause chaos, how they want to establish pressure on the quarterback. And it's a young quarterback. And so when Spagnuolo, he give him an extra week, he might be able to dial up some stuff. We'll see. So I'm going to lean on the defense there. But I want to talk about intangibles here, the things that might impact the game that we don't necessarily see. And what do you think could just impact this game? Clearly, we're talking neutral site game. I do think there's going to be a lot of 49ers fans. I don't know how in the hell anyone's affording to play in this, to go to this game. I think I saw tickets that were down in the lower bowl for like $50,000, like some amount of money. But nonetheless, it's a Super Bowl. There's never really a fan base of teams that dominate one over the other. So it's a neutral site game. That would be one of those. Is there anything that you can think of that might impact this game that maybe isn't being talked about a lot?
Well, so I don't know if it's not being talked about anymore right now, but Juwan Taylor is the most penalized player in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
And it was talked about a whole lot really early in the year, and it was good to talk about because the Chiefs were struggling and maybe cost them a game. But this is a guy on a big 4-year, $80 million deal who has not been great. And in the playoffs hasn't been great. And I think it's easy to say that Bosa is a difference maker, but he's lined up against Juwan Taylor.
Yeah.
And so I think that could be a big one there. And then on the other side with the 49ers, Brock Purdy hasn't played in a Super Bowl. And this is a guy that's basically got, 23, 24 good starts or whatever in his career. We've heard from lots of players that once you get in this whole week of media and the workouts are different and all that kind of stuff, that it can get in your head. And so we'll see both of those for each team.
Yeah, you took mine there. I was going to go with pressure. I was going to go with pressure. And you think about Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and all their coaches. They've been there, done that. And when you saw the AFC Championship game, you saw an experienced team baiting an inexperienced team like the Baltimore Ravens into stupid penalties, into playing out of context, not playing the way they usually do. Now, the 49ers have experience. I don't want to pretend like they don't. They were in the NFC Championship game last year. It's just that one position, the quarterback. Like, can he overcome maybe a slow start? Can he overcome an early turnover if he does happen to turn it over? And there's a chance that he does. I don't know. I know that Brock Purdy has a lot to prove to the national media that have been bashing this guy, saying system quarterback, things like that. He hears it. He hears it. And now the 49ers already talk about pressure. They're complaining about the practice field at UNLV not being as good. Like, to me, that's adding pressure to what you would hope to be a really, hey, let's just keep it as normal as we can. Let's get our work in. Let's stay focused. Now we're blowing things up with the practice field and stuff. I don't know. That's going to be a huge facet of this game. You'll never see it on Brock Purdy's face. He seems like he's pretty cool, calm, and collect. But inside, he could be a freaking ball of nerves, and that could be a big difference.
If we're just talking about pressure and trying to manufacture pressure on the Chiefs side, there's a lot of rumors that this is Andy Reid's last game. And there's a lot of less rumors, but there's still rumors that Travis Kelce is going to retire with his brother, Jason Kelce. If that's more known or felt in the locker room and not being obviously confirmed, does that put pressure on the other players to let those guys leave with Super Bowl victories versus this would be the terrible way to go out?
That's a good question. And I've heard those same rumors as well. And I'm sure that if it doesn't happen, I'll go back to 2004. The Steelers were 15-1, Ben Roethlisberger's rookie year. They lose to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. Jerome Bettis is supposed to retire. Hines Ward's crying in an interview after the game, the day after, like locker cleanout day. Bawling. Jerome didn't win it. Oh my gosh, we were going to win. They talked him back into one more year. They went into 2005. I could see that type of situation happening, at least for Kelce, if not for Reed as well. But at the same time, there might be a little added pressure. I don't think it would be close, though, to the pressure of Brock Purdy. Cause I think that stuff, that's intangible stuff that wears off. Once the game starts, you're not thinking about Travis Kelce maybe retiring or Andy Reid. With Brock Purdy, he's probably thinking, okay, this isn't just a regular game. Like, this is the freaking Super Bowl. That's a different ball of wax, man.
Yeah, for sure. This is millions and millions of dollars for Brock Purdy, who's on a terrible 4-year deal with $750,000 guaranteed.
Yeah. I mean, there's kids making NIL deals three times that.
Crazy.
I'm surprised you didn't say to Taylor Swift. I mean, she's hopping on a plane and flying straight there. I mean, hey.
Man, and I tell you what, with her cleaning up at the Grammys and Travis Kelce has put down the gauntlet that he now has to bring hardware home. he's going to have to follow through. Like, he may be needing to get Super Bowl MVP consideration in order to actually compete with her now.
Well, if he has a stat line like he had in the AFC Championship game, 11 catches on 11 targets, over 100 yards and a touchdown, it would be tough not to give him the MVP.
So I do want to ask you, so who does the NFL want to win this game?
I honestly don't think they care.
Okay.
Because the Chiefs are there. So meaning the Swifties are watching. So they have the ratings boost already. The 49ers have a huge fan base and they could win their sixth Super Bowl. That's a win for them as well. And the Chiefs fan base has obviously grown over their recent success. So I don't think they care. I really don't. Do you?
Well, so I had somebody recorded a show earlier this week where somebody said that they thought that the NFL wanted the Chiefs to win. And I counterpointed with kind of what you were alluding to that, well, if the Chiefs lose, then maybe it makes Travis Kelce come back another year instead of retiring. So we get to do this Taylor Swift is at every game, because if the Chiefs win and Travis Kelce retires, do we lose the Taylor Swift fans forever?
I don't know. I'm sure they'll keep some. If you would have said in the AFC Championship game, who does the NFL want to win? Oh, it's the Chiefs. They want the Chiefs to win for sure.
Absolutely.
So, okay, let's talk about more down to brass tacks here about the game in and of itself. And we talked about the spread. We talked about the total being 47.5 points, which we both thought was high. But I don't want to. We'll get to our prediction here in a second, but how do you see this game even played? It's really difficult for me to do this in a Super Bowl, any Super Bowl, based on the fact that it always seems to be slow to start. Teams are kind of getting a feel for each other. I can't think of the last time a Super Bowl started fast where teams were moving the ball up and down the field. So maybe it was Atlanta, New England, when they went out to a 28-3 lead. We all know how that ended, but still, how do you see this game playing out?
Yeah. So I think that both teams could sense it getting into being a slow, defensive, low-scoring game, and I think that neither one of these head coaches wants that. I think that both of these head coaches, I could see somebody going for a trick play early, going for some sort of kind of rocking the boat and trying to get an offensive advantage, because this should be a low scoring game with the way that they're both playing. So, and these are both so defensive teams with crazy offensive players and fun offenses. These are both looked at as offensive teams if you're just like on the surface, but I don't think either one of them, I think their defenses is what's going to carry them. So I think that both coaches, Andy Reid and Shanahan, could be looking for an offensive advantage or offensive surprise in this game and realize that that could be the difference. And if you get it over early and you get a 2-score lead early, it could be enough. I mean, it's what the Chiefs did to the Ravens. Yeah, the Chiefs got up 17-7 and that's the game. It was over.
Yep. Ball game. Let's do this. Let's break this down this way. Okay. We'll kind of do it rapid fire. So I'm going to say okay, offense, if you had to pick one or the other, Chiefs or 49ers, who are you picking? So let's start there. Offense. Who do you like in this matchup? Chiefs, 49ers.
It's Patrick Mahomes, man. Like, I think that if you sit here and how many weapons, it's the 49ers. But it's that one big weapon. It's Patrick Mahomes and what he brings. The intangibles are just, he's got them here. He's the best quarterback in the NFL right now. And it's just going to come down to him making a play at some point.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it's the Chiefs. Let's go defense now, though. Kansas City or San Francisco?
Again, I think 49ers have the best players. A couple of players that I think are maybe the three best defensive players in the game play for the 49ers. The Chiefs are one of the best defenses that we've ever seen in the last couple of months. And so I think their coach is just killing it. I'm going to give the Chiefs the advantage there.
Got to give it to the Chiefs. I like the Chiefs top to bottom. I like their, you know, the front seven for San Francisco is really good, but really their good. Secondary to me is kind of skeptical. So I like the Chiefs secondary better. I do want to give some props to the San Fran D. I think they're better than we all might give them credit for. But let's go to special teams now. Big part of the game. Who do you lean on?
I mean, it's Harrison Butker is the biggest difference maker in this game. By far on special teams, and Jake Moody just has not been reliable at all. He's 84% throughout the season, and this I think this is going to be a close game. And Harrison Butker, I think he's missed two kicks the entire year, right?
Something like that. Yeah, he's very consistent.
He's crazy good, and here inside the Allegiant in Vegas, he's going to kick whatever he wants under 60 yards.
Yeah, and I think it's what Jake Moody is the alternative there for San Francisco. Yeah. He's had his issues. So I got to lean on, Butker and the Chiefs there. Last one, I think this is maybe the closest thing to a toss-up, is coaches.
Yeah, I am going to, I'm going to give this one barely to the 49ers just on the fact that they have an incredible – super talented young quarterbacks coach named Clint Kubiak.
Oh,
who just got hired by the Saints.
I knew you couldn't go through a whole freaking show without bringing up stupid
this,
Saints.
This guy's an up and comer. He's going to revolutionize the game, and he may do it right here in the Super Bowl where he puts his stamp on the Clint Kubiak special. This one's a close one, but the 49ers and this, their overall offensive scheme and what it does is honestly unmatched. What Shanahan has put out in the coaching tree that he's developing is crazy. So I'll give it to him just barely over Spags.
So for me, I'm going to give it to Andy Reid for one reason. Andy Reid's proven that he will be aggressive. And for me in a big game, I'd rather have a coach that's aggressive. And Kyle Shanahan has been known to clam up in big games and get uber conservative. I'm going to take the aggressive coach. I'll go with Andy Reid. So for me, who's Jeff picking? You just heard it. I just said everything Chiefs. So I'm definitely taking the Chiefs. Here's my score. I've got the Chiefs winning this game. I think it's going to be higher scoring than we think, even though we said, I can't believe the over-under. Sometimes these games do loosen up, and sometimes people take gambles and they don't pay off. I've got the Chiefs winning 27-24. Take the over. Take the Chiefs getting points. I like Kansas City to win. What's your score prediction, Wesley?
You said 27-24?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm a 25-20.
25. How did they get to 21?
I think the Chiefs are going to kick six field goals and score a touchdown. I really think it's going to be the difference. I think they're just going to get close and they're like, I don't care, kick it. And I think they're going to end up. That's fine.
This is one of those weird numbers where you're like, oh, 25. How did they get to 25? So no. Oh, it's a big dog.
The dog likes it.
All right. So, hey, there you have it. We will definitely be back to talk about the game in and of itself afterwards. We'll do a show next week kind of recapping the Super Bowl, giving our thoughts and stuff like that. But, Wesley, let everyone know where they can find your Saints coverage.
Yeah, you can find me at the Dome Patrol podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, or my personal Twitter is at WhoDatWesley13. Jeff, we got to go back and still cover the Pro Bowl so we can let that go for no flag football. Jeff, where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find my coverage of the Pittsburgh Steelers on the Steel Curtain Network. Anywhere you get your podcast, search Steelers or Steel Curtain Network. You can find me on Twitter at jhartman, HARTMAN_PIT. Wesley, thank you for your time, man. We will talk next week. Take it easy.
Thank you.